Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store. For all your Disney grocery needs, they will deliver to any of the fine Disney resorts. Contact Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in a deluxe resort at reduced prices, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of their Orlando attraction, contact Elite at elitevacationhomes.com. And you can find all of our fine sponsors on our website at It's All In WDW. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train, head over to the pub, and we'll talk to you soon.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Everybody, welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined as always by my good buddy Dan. Hey Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey Doug, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. And then we're also joined by our good buddy John Peters, a Disney cast member. How you doing tonight, John?
Jumbo, everybody. How we doing?
Jumbo, John.
Stop, John. You're killing us here. So the big question is, John, which of the rides in Africa are you working on?
Well, let's see, there was one that Doug said if I actually got to be a part of that he was going to drive down here, and I believe his words were proceed to kick my butt. But, well, I guess he's in the car because I am indeed on the Wildlife Express train to Rafiki's Planet Watch.
You're such a lucky dog. You really are. I'm not going to make a specific trip. I'm just going to let the anger build up until I'm down there in December. I'll be so angry by the time I get there in December, the silverback gorillas will be afraid of me when they see me coming through the trail. But all kidding aside, I got your picture you sent out to us the other day in your uniform. I was really, you look like a real conductor, John.
Well, thank you. That's actually the engineer outfit. So, yes, that's an engineer outfit, and then we have a different costume that's conductor. So you can wear either one. You actually get a pick.
Now, when you're a conductor one, don't be collecting tickets and trying to get money from us.
Well, of course. That's part of the conducting, isn't it?
That's what the conductor does on the train. But how did your first day go on the train the other day, yesterday?
Yesterday was great. Yeah, it was actually, I'd finally done some, got to the on the job training portion of getting employed out there and stuff. And yeah, I had to put my little sticker behind my name tag that says I'm earning my ears. So now I officially look like one of those newbies out there. So, but
you're like, yeah, NASCAR. So, they should have put an orange sticker on your back.
Exactly.
You ever see that, Dennis?
No, I don't watch NASCAR. But
when you're a NASCAR rookie, they put these big orange reflectors on your rear bumper to let everybody know on the track that you're a rookie that season.
Stay away. Yeah. Don't come near me.
Yeah, right across John's butt, they should have put a big red big orange reflector across there.
Big sticker that says rookie.
Yeah.
Well, everybody goes through that, John, so I'm sure couple of weeks or a couple months you'll be a regular, you know, you'll be good, get over it.
How'd your first day go?
Well, yesterday we learned a lot more about safety. That the train, the primary focus is about safety because it is a vehicle that's, you know, a big vehicle, so, and can get quite dangerous if not properly taken care of and loaded properly and stuff. So number one priority there is the guest safety. So learned a lot about that and a lot of loading, unloading and stuff like that. And then after about, I think of, we actually walked us around the Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail. We went out to Rafiki's Planet Watch and toured it quite extensively. Took a long time to walk through it. And all of that is just a background for us when we're working the platform and stuff like that, talking to guests so we can explain to them exactly what else is around the train station and stuff like that, and give them other options of things to do after they take the train. But then in the afternoon, actually rode again and got to drive the train. Did one complete loop all the way around. So it was exciting. It was
you actually got to drive the train?
Yep, already. Yep.
That's so pretty cool. And do you, I mean, not being smart, is it like, or I'm always dumb. So anyway, but do you actually drive it? I mean, is it electronic, or is it, I mean, computerized, or how's it actually work?
No, it's a train. I mean, it has a brake, it has a throttle, and it has forward, reverse, and stuff like that. And at night, in the morning, you have to pull it out of the roundhouse. There's actually three different trains, three locomotives, but two sets of different cars. I didn't realize that, but yeah, there's three different train. There's a black train, a red train, and a green train.
I actually did know that, but that's because I love the darn train so much. And they also, the way the luggage and stuff is on the tops are a little bit different. Am I right about that, Toe?
There's two different sets of cars. So yeah, I think they are stacked a little bit different and stuff like that on the tops of them. But so we learned the switching techniques on the rails and stuff like that. But yeah, all of that stuff's manual. I mean, it's a real train. So it's not a steam locomotive like the one at the Magic Kingdom. These are diesel engines, but they're very big diesel engines. So there's you know, reversed, forward, and the throttle and the brake and all that stuff. So it's we're actually driving the train. It's not like you push a button and it just automatically goes to the next site or anything like that. So,
well, I did read all about it, but I just wanted you to tell everybody, so you'd explain to everybody. But it is really cool that you're driving that. Now, are you going to drive that on a weekly basis? Are you going to get to, or are you going to be more out loading people on and off? Or will you rotate each day for that?
You got it. All of the positions there are rotation basis. So you're the conductor in the back, doing the spiel and stuff like that for about 40 minutes, an hour. Then you move to a different position on the platform. Then you move up by the turnstile area. You might do the greeter out front, and then you might end up as the conductor. So, I mean, as the engineer. So, yeah, you constantly are moving to a different position. So everybody has to learn every position. So,
no, that's really cool, though. I mean, that keeps it from it getting boring, for sure. I mean, you never thought that you were going to be driving the train, did you?
No, I was kind of surprised. I didn't realize that you rotated all the way through that. So, at this time of year, I don't think you really could do the engineer position the entire day, because it's a good 10 to 15 degrees hotter in that engine than it is out and standing on the platform, because that diesel engine is literally right in front of you. So,
Dan, aren't you shocked he's driving the train?
Yeah, especially this
and jealous
early on. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, but I mean, that, like you said, that'll keep it interesting. So, John, as far as your colleagues at work there, are you the youngest, oldest, or middle of the pack? I mean,
he's
are you
by far
with kids,
the oldest. He's by far the oldest.
How does that work out? A lot of CP kids are.
Yeah, well, there's actually a couple of college program kids, and I think one of them is getting ready to move back up to, or she's got classes starting this fall, so she was almost on her last couple of days. But then, yeah, most of the other folks are probably in their early 20s, mid-20s. So, I'm about 20 years older than just about
everybody
else. So,
yeah, the Papa John of the bunch.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, hey, it is what it is.
That could be to your advantage, you know. Once you get, you know, comfortable and you're in there, you'd probably be running the whole place. They'll look up to you.
I mean, as long as I do my job well and maintain the proper safety and stuff like that, to a lot of people, somebody that does have look a little more experienced and maybe has the gray in their hair, they may feel a little more comfortable, you know.
They'll never say that, but you're exactly right. That would go a long way towards making people feel a little better about it, you know. So they're probably hoping to have high hopes for you, as we do.
As do I myself. So.
Yeah, we got to get some old men in the parks when we get down there, Dan, and we start working there. We don't look like the only old two men there.
Exactly.
No, but I'm excited. I can't wait to ride that train with you on it, John. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing lots of friends from the show. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, safety is the number one priority there, so I won't have a whole lot of time to talk to if I'm unless I'm doing the conductor bit in the back where, you know, you kind of stand with the folks that are sitting in the last car. And so hopefully if I run into some guys, they can, or some folks that we know from the show, they can sit back there with me and maybe I can say hi to them and stuff like that. But otherwise, basically it'd just be a real quick, hi, how you doing? And put them in the chair, in the car, you know? So
yeah, the platform area. I'm sorry, Dan, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, now, as I recall on that train, on the platform there, isn't there some sort of hand signal that they give the conductor or whatever, like when it's all clear or it's stopped? Or I kind of seem to remember some odd kind of hand gesturing.
Yeah, you reach your far side arm out, you turn around, you reach your far side out, and wave it up and down to give the all clear. And then the person in the back, the conductor, gives it back to the engineer, and the platform person, as they're walking towards you, is holding their palm out to indicate that everything is all clear. So
got you.
There's a couple of different hand gestures that you have to learn to before you clear training. So,
and I would imagine it's exaggerated so that there can be no confusion, you know, like if it was just a little wave or something like that, you know, it could be misconstrued and somebody make a mistake, right?
Well, there's the hand gestures that are definitive, and then there's a series of whistles and what they call guard signals inside the cab that goes back and forth between the conductor and the engineer to indicate that everything is on the up and up, and nobody is standing. Apparently, when I was driving the train the first time yesterday, of course, somebody had to stand up in the middle of the ride to Rafiki's Planet Watch, and we had to stop the train while they sat back down. So.
Oh, boy.
We have some definitive hand signals on my job site, too, but we can't get into them on this episode. Not that I ever used them.
Everybody knows what those means.
Not that I ever used them. No, John, but you could probably – what about on the platform while you're waiting for the train to come back? You do that too, don't you?
Yeah. We'll rotate through there. In the greeter position up top, you know, when you either parking the strollers or actually encouraging people to head down the hill and stuff like that. So, yeah, there'll be some positions where I can definitely stop and say hi and talk to some folks. So.
And drop your Disney knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, like I mean, I was excited to try to do some pin trading and stuff like that because my wife is such a fan of it. I was looking forward to that, and they don't even give any of this position a pin lanyard because they don't want you to be distracted in one of the safety positions. So.
No, that's I understand it. I get that with the train. Yeah, and I get it because they don't want you thinking I'm the greeter now, I'm the conductor now, I can trade here, but I can't trade there. They just they don't want to put that on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, is there a, like, shift commander or something, like the boss or somebody on each shift, or how does that work?
Yeah, there's a lead that is basically walking around supervising or you know, he's kind of overseeing the shift changes and all that type of stuff.
Okay.
And making sure that everybody is doing their correct job. And he'll step in and fill in a position if somebody has to take a break or something like that really quick or something comes up. So, he's available for that type of stuff. So
how much fun was the first day? Was it very crowded yesterday on your first day there?
Well, I don't think that train gets a whole lot of traffic at any given time. It's just a consistent stream throughout the day. I wouldn't say the train ever got very crowded. I mean, there was always a nice sized crowd that got onto it and came back from Rafiki's Planet Watch, but I don't think they ever got up to capacity, anywhere near capacity or anything like that. The rest of the park is of course still crowded for Pandora and stuff like that right now. So, but actually it's kind of a unique thing that I got put into this position just starting because they were telling us that usually this is a transfer position because a lot of people want the hours at this because the train is only open from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. is the last run it does to Rafiki's Planet Watch, and then it runs for another 45 minutes to an hour, bringing folks back from Rafiki's Planet Watch, but not taking anybody else. And so that, you know, your shifts generally are going to run from either 8 to 4:30 or about 8:30 to 5:30. And that's your shifts. And it's almost like banker hours. So, you know, I mean, you know how wacky some of the hours at other parks can be. So on this ride at this, or this attraction at Animal Kingdom, this is like the best hours you could, if you want normal hours, this is the attraction you want. So.
Well, that's awesome, John. I mean, I know it works out good for you because your normal job is you're up at the crack of dawn. So if you were working to midnight on Sunday or Monday night, that would kind of put a monkey wrench in it for Tuesday for you.
That is absolutely correct. I was kind of afraid of that. You know, yesterday I got done at 5:30 and I got home by 7:15, you know, so it still worked out. It worked out fine. It's just now that I'm probably going to, for a while, I'm going to at least be working 3 days there and 4 days of my regular job, so 7 days a week. I think about 3 weeks from now, I'll get up at 5 o'clock and I won't have a clue as to which one I'm going to. I'll have to double check my calendar to see what day of the week it is. So,
if you're driving next to John, move over one lane. So, John, first things first, we did the news with everything coming out on D23, and I'm sure you want to put your two cents in on a lot of things.
But yeah, I heard the show. It was a good show. You guys were joined by Bob and Judith, and both of them did a great job, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I actually listened to it on the way to work yesterday and the way back. So you got listened to again on Disney property. There you go, fellas.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's this that we've been listened to a few times. I know we were somebody reported that we were playing in the Italian Pavilion one day at the restaurant. That wasn't you, was it, John?
Yeah, I think I heard the show when I was backing up one day, and I think that was about 6 months before I actually joined you guys doing the podcast. But yeah, I heard it coming out of somebody's car drive when I was backing up. So.
Oh, that's pretty cool. We were happy to hear that. We've gotten a few reports of that, which is awesome. But did you hear the debate that Bob and me had about Living with the Land and Ellen? Did you hear that debate?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, again, everybody knows that I knew I was going to lose this debate, and I don't know how it got put that I don't like Living with the Land. I love Living with the Land. My point is, I don't know why I do. If everybody says Ellen's getting old. If you look at Living with the Land, I mean, from what it was in 97, we first went, because it said it was updated in 2006. The update in 2006 was removing half the crap from the ride. They took the drivers away. They emptied half the people to work in the office. I mean, tell me, Dennis, there isn't half as much to do to see now as there was in 97 when you first went down.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's barren compared to what it was back before the refurb. And, you know, the skippers being gone is the most notable thing that's different on there. Now they got that canned spiel that they play through the speaker on the ride vehicle. But you're right. There used to be much more activity around the garden, the greenhouse. You could see the, you know, botanist or whatever they are in there, you know, doing things. And yeah, I know, you know, you do occasionally see a cast member back there, but it's, if you see one or two now, it used to be, you know, 5 or 10 before. And it just seemed more like more was going on. It seemed like there was more going on.
Exactly, because you could even see people around the plants, not just in the offices, but roaming all around the facility. And the boat captain would talk to you. So the point I'm trying to make is the reason we all love Living with the Land is more of it's a – and I said a cult-like following, but the point is it's like you earned your Disney card by liking that. It's a Small World, Carousel Progress, Spaceship
Earth, Maelstrom.
Maelstrom. All these rides were like – near and dear to our heart. But if you actually and this is the bet I would take, if you've never been to the park, have no affiliation with anything, and you did Ellen's Ride and you did Living with the Land, you cannot even compare the two with the amount of stuff there is to see on Living with the Land. I mean, with Ellen's Universe of Energy.
Well, right, Alan. I mean, again, I'd say it's three attractions in one, starting with the pre-show. I mean, if you really think about it, it's three different attractions, in my opinion.
Exactly. So I get it. I love I like living with the land as much as Ellen, but my point is, I don't know why. Now, John, what's your point? What's your thoughts on the two rides?
Well, first of all, do you know when is Ellen's Energy Adventure supposed to be closing?
13th of August.
13th of August.
Okay. All right, because I was going to say we could literally do this because my buddy from the Navy is going down with his family in October, and if it was going to be open, they could ride both, never having even been to Epcot before. And they could have ridden both and told us without us trying to lead them in any way which one they liked better, but it's not going to work. So I personally feel more attached to living with the land, and it's because
– But that's what I said.
But, well, see, I like agriculture a lot more than I care about conserving energy, to tell you the truth. I've always if I had my whole family is from Illinois, and they were all farmers, and it's just kind of ingrained, in, I guess, in my blood that's kind of what I probably should have been, a farmer of some sort, because I love growing vegetables in my garden out back and stuff like that. So when I go on living with the land, I enjoy it a lot more because I always look at it as stuff that, heck, if I really applied myself, maybe I could grow these hydroponic, you know, water stuff with the hydroponics and stuff like that. And Ellen's Energy Adventure, I love the dinosaur part, but the whole conserving energy and the different uses of energy, and then just the whole point of, they say all this stuff, but it's all by an oil company that's making billions of dollars off of oil. It just kind of, it always kind of seemed hypocritical to me, because they're showing you the different uses of solar power and wind power and stuff like that, but it's all from an oil company. So I don't know. I always thought it was kind of a little bit hypocritical. So,
well, then under that logic, then Disney's hypocritical, because they do all this stuff acting like they're the happiest place on earth, and which it is, but the bottom line is all about money. It isn't,
well, it's a company.
Well, that's what the oil company is. They're out to make money, but they're actually putting it back into it to show you how to save energy.
I don't know. I just thought it would have made more sense if it was by, like, Duke Energy or something like that, an actual energy company instead of an oil company. I always thought the sponsorship was a little.
But the point the point they're trying to make, though, is an energy company, they're trying to find other ways for the future. They know they're not going to be able to solely depend on oil for the rest of their life. So it's showing you the different ways we got to go, which, that's fine. I get it. But now the bottom line is, with living with the land, you have to admit it's a shadow of its former self.
Well, once they got rid of the skippers on it, I was disappointed. I mean, and now I think I've done it once in the last year, but I've done Ellen probably once in the last 2 years. I don't do living with the land every time we go out there now. And my wife won't even ride it without the people on the boat anymore. So,
and I've rode it every year. I still ride it. I still go on it. But the whole article was listed like, I hate it, I don't like it. The bottom line is, they both need to be replaced. Living with the land needs something done.
Don't think living with the land needs to be replaced. I just think maybe it needs to get the people back on it and maybe update some of the animatronics at the beginning and stuff like that. So,
I mean, you got a cow
in
a house.
Gotten rid of, though. So.
You got a cow in a house that sit there. A storm that's hokey pokey.
Hokey pokey.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's like, I mean, it isn't when it's all said and done, everything in there is not top of the line the way it's done. I mean,
several of the scenes could be totally redone. Rip them out and redo them. I think they can still tell the story they're trying to tell with, you know, about, you know, food and, you know, agriculture and all that. But, I mean, I think with the space the attraction takes up. I mean, the greenhouse stuff is what it is, the hydroponics
and
all that.
Fine.
Right, but whatever you want to call it, the dark ride part of it, they could totally gut that out and redo it, I think, and add some, you know, they could make it new again. I mean, they could call it what it is and, you know, I mean, isn't there a donkey or something in one of the scenes there? And, I mean, it's pretty old stuff. I mean, it's but there's chickens running around in one scene, a little farmhouse there, as I recall. And I don't know. It's just
very outdated. And that's the point I was trying to make. And again, me and Brenda will be there in this, and I'll be on it.
Yep.
I'll do it again. But that's my whole point. I'm arguing against myself as far as I feel like I love the ride, but I don't know why anymore. Because it's a shadow of its former self. It really is. And
well, I think a lot of the stuff in Future World we just do because it's nostalgic more than
yes.
it is because it's a fascinating ride. I mean, the only reason I do Ellen's Energy Adventure anymore is because it's nostalgic. I mean, it was the first time or two you rode it, it was interesting and you learned something. But if you've done it a couple of times, you've seen the show, you've learned everything that's on there. But then you do it again just to see the dinosaurs and feel the nostalgic feel of it. So that's the same reason we do Living with the Land, and you know, I mean, so
and that's really part of what Epcot has become, and that's part of its problem, right? Because we as Disney fans, I mean, just like, you know, I get teased about Maelstrom. Of course, I mean, it wasn't my favorite attraction. I mean, it was more nostalgia than it was.
You were attached to it.
Right, exactly. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue that, oh, that was the most thrilling ride, or, oh, it's just got great, audio animatronics. I mean, it was kind of hokey, and that was its charm, and that's why I liked it, because it was, you know, kind of one of the original dark rides, or at least an older dark ride, and that's the problem with a lot of Epcot's attractions, with Figment and, you know, Living with the Land and Ellen, and, you know, we've been saying they're long in the tooth for 10 years now. We know they were overdue to be changed, and you know, that's why this is exciting, that all this new stuff is coming, even though at the expense of some things I'd rather not see them replace or add to. But, I mean, at the end of it all, I think it's going to be a better park for having gone through this.
I mean, myself, the only thing... Test Track, Spaceship Earth, and Sword and Stay, it could all go, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I am happy about Mission Space, because me and Bob disagreed about that. But the point of it is people are going to go on it.
Right, right.
Nobody would go on it before.
Right. I said that. They got a chance to get me now, and I've never even been in the building, you know. So there's a good chance I'm going to at least try the new version or – you know, go in the new building and see what it's all about. And I would not do that if they weren't going to, you know, go through this refurb.
Yeah, they're trying to do something with it. And I'm happy about Guardians of the Galaxy coming. I'm excited about it. I watch the movies. I think they're funny. I think they're good. I mean, that was the thing I could make about, at least if you've never seen the Ellen ride and walked in, you would laugh at the beginning with the whole Jeopardy game. You get to learn something. It's educational. The ride vehicle's awesome. I mean... Yep. The ride vehicles that live in with the land are just stupid boats. They're nothing special. I like the boats, but are they anything special, John, compared to the ride vehicle at the Universe of Energy?
No. The ride vehicles were one of the coolest parts. Do you think they're the same vehicles that Great Movie Ride employ? Or similar to them anyway, aren't they?
They're close. They're very close.
Yeah, I would think they got to be somewhat similar. So.
And then Pat, to really scratch the surface of the whole thing, or my buddy Pat. Love you, Pat. I really do, but anyway. He sits there and he's telling me, he goes, let me add some fuel to the fire. He's going to be down there in August, the first week. He's going to be down there actually for my birthday. And I'm sure I'll get some kind of birthday wish on the second from him from somewhere. And I'm sure it won't be too nice. But anyway, he's saying he's probably not even going to do the Great Movie Ride.
Oh, boy.
There's no interest. I mean, what does he have interest in? Dole Whips, Polly, and food. And Pat's happy. Or Joffrey's. Got to go to Joffrey's.
Right, right.
But... I don't know. It just bothered me because the way the whole thing was where it isn't what I was trying to say. What I was trying to say, the reason Living with the Land is so popular is because it's like family. We all seem attached to it. But when you really sit down, if you went on YouTube and took a 10-year-old and just showed them both of those rides driving through that never been to Disney, they would fall asleep on Living with the Land.
Oh, yeah. There's a good chance of that.
And I love it because I could still see me and Brenda there in 97 the first time saying, isn't this cool? When the skipper was talking to us.
Yeah. And I also think the fact that it's in the same pavilion with one of the most popular attractions on property, I think people go on it willingly.
Oh, absolutely.
Waiting for their Soaring Fast Pass time to open up or whatever. So I think that if you go by the numbers, it might be deceiving because people use it as a, what do you want to say? Just a kill time, I guess.
Yeah.
Whereas you know, Ellen, it's a specific building and you got to make an effort to actually go there.
It would be empty if Soarin' wasn't in that building.
Right. And, I do think that's true.
Another thing, I mean, even you guys mentioned this, what, a week or two ago when you were reading some menus on a show. I don't think I was on the show. You were reading some menus and saying that there's, it was that $35 Taste Orlando thing. One of the restaurants had a sampling of greens from the Land Pavilion. Mm-hmm. And I think, and both of you guys were excited about that.
Exactly.
Because I think that's one of the things that you do could, every time you go on the land, you're looking at the produce and you're going, well, heck, if I'm eating a salad later, maybe I am actually going to have that cherry tomato that actually came from the living with the land. So I think that's another point that people really have a fondness for, it because maybe it does give it that extra special connection that maybe you actually ate something that you saw grown inside the greenhouses. So
the bottom line is I want them to keep it. But they need to do a major overhaul or something to it because it's totally not up to standards, in my opinion. And I'll keep going on it because I love it. But it's still, you know, it's kind of like you go to that restaurant because you've been going to it for so many years. It's not the best food, but it's good.
Right.
You know, it's consistent. It's good. It's not great. And to be on Disney property, it should be great.
Well, and plus, you know, before all this stuff happens, you face it, there's not a whole lot of things to do at Epcot if you're not, you know, into the festivals or into, you know, maybe shopping or, you know, just sightseeing. There's, you know, there's only so many attractions that are open there, and you got to do something while you're there, right?
Oh, absolutely. So before we get John's highlights of what he's excited about with all the rides, let's dive a little bit into the movies that we talked about, all the new movies that are coming out. You got Wreck-It Ralph, you got Toy Story, you know, you got Avengers movies, you got Incredibles, you got Mary Poppins, you got Will Smith with Aladdin, you got all these movies. What are you guys most excited about of all the movies that you read about?
Myself, I'd have to say the Avengers Affinity, is that what it's called? I believe that's the name of it. Yeah, I mean, that's been, of all the movies you mentioned, that's one that, you know, I really enjoyed the Avengers movies, and I'm looking forward to that whole series continuing, and all the characters are awesome characters, and I can't wait to see what they do next with it.
Yeah, then they also have Dumbo is supposed to be coming out, and they're going to have the Lion King live action, which I'm very excited about that, too. John, what are you most excited about?
Well, do we even need to ask? Star Wars Last Jedi is coming out in December.
Besides them stupid movies, what are you most excited about? I'm just kidding.
Definitely Star Wars, but then my second would definitely be the Avengers. Reading about that, they're going to have Guardians of the Galaxy, the Avengers, and one other group in there too, wasn't it? So it's and I don't know. It said at one time the bad guy from or the villain from Guardians of the Galaxy throws an entire planet at him, so it's gonna be a cool movie, so I'm really looking forward to that. But other than that, it would be the Wreck-It Ralph sequel, because I guess him and Vanellope Von Sweets are gonna invade the internet and go to different sites, so they could have run-ins with everybody.
They're supposed to break the internet, or somebody's supposed to break the internet.
So they could run into everybody from Darth Vader to the Avengers to, and then I think something about all of the Disney princesses on the screen at one time. So I think that's going to be very interesting. You know, might have more cameo appearances by Disney characters than any other movie in history. So
yeah, I'm excited about that myself, because I like the first record, Ralph. Dan, you haven't seen that yet, have you?
Bits and pieces, but I haven't sat down and watched the whole thing. In fact, it was on the other day. My wife was watching it, so I was doing something, but I was on in the background, but I haven't watched it.
I'm between the the Avengers, and you know, Toy Story 4. As you guys know, me and Brenda watched 1, 2, and 3 the other day. It was on Saturday. We had it on all day playing in the background. As we were doing the household chores, I'd come back in. It was on TV. Then we had family over, and it played while everybody was here. But they're supposed to be going on. From what I got is they're going on a road trip in an RV, which sounds pretty cool too. So I'm excited about that. And again, between that and that Lion King and the Avengers are the three I'm excited about. I'm wondering what they're gonna do with that. My wife's interested in the Mary Poppins because, and I'm anxious to see what they're gonna do with that because Mary Poppins was out when I was a little kid and I don't think I've seen it since.
So they're gonna do a remake of the original live action Mary Poppins? Is that what it is?
I think a sequel.
Yes.
I think a sequel.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're gonna continue the story with obviously all new actors.
And the Incredibles is supposed to, the way I read that, it's supposed to pick up exactly where the last one left off. Is that what you read, John?
Yeah, that's what I saw. The indications there said something about Mr. Incredible's finally going to learn what Jack's hidden talent is and stuff like that.
Yeah, didn't he blow something up at the end? Or
he's a fire starter, isn't he?
Yeah,
He's like flame on guy or you know, that type of thing. So. So yeah, The Incredibles was a thoroughly enjoyable movie too. So yeah, that one. I mean, there's just a glut of movies. Do you think all of the live action remakes are gonna do well though? I mean, they look like they're just absolutely taking everyone they can think of now. And I mean, what, there's three of them right now, right? Aladdin, Lion King, and Dumbo. So
yeah, I think Lion King will definitely do good. Aladdin will probably do really good because it has Will Smith. And most things attached to him end up working out. So,
well, especially him playing the genie. That should be pretty friggin' funny. So,
how did the Jungle Book do? Just was it? I mean, I didn't see it, but I mean, was it well received or?
It did pretty good. And I've seen like 75% of it. It's really good. It's free on Netflix right now, Dan. That's where I watch most of it. All right. So.
I'll have to check it out. Just wondering, I mean, if they based, you know, it must have done fairly well because they're making all these others, although I think they're pulling from much stronger, you know, movies than, you know, Jungle Book is one of the older Disney movies, and certainly, you know, Lion King is real, real popular. So that in itself ought to make it more popular, I would think.
And Dumbo has Michael Keaton in it, so, I mean, that should do decent. I'm just anxious to see which way they go with that. What were you going to say, Johnny?
No, I was just going to say, I think, I don't know about Jungle Book, the live action, because the cartoon was one of the first ones that I remember my mom taking me to see in the theater, I think, when it was re-released. And I love the music and that. So, yeah, Man Bear Cub and all that type, all that music, especially King Louie, was always my favorite. So I don't think they translated any of that music into the live action, did they?
I don't know.
It was a while. I thought there was some in there, John, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Okay.
So you didn't see the live action?
No, I saw Beauty and the Beast a couple of weeks ago. I thought that was fantastic. So
yeah.
I think some of them translate great, and then I'm not sure if they're trying. It just seems like they're trying.
I think you would like the Jungle Book. I really do. I think you'd like.
I know I'm gonna like the Lion King. I just don't know about. And I imagine I'll like Aladdin. I don't know about Dumbo though. That seems kind of a bit of a stretch, but we'll see. So.
It all depends on how many Le Fin de Monts you have.
Yeah. And just like
golden monkeys.
Yeah. All of these movies will be out, and we'll have seen them before the next Avatar movie comes out.
Ba-dum-bum. That's your Park Hoppers for All.
Yes, exactly.
And by the way, guys, if you wanted the best snack on Disney property, head over to the Joy of Tea and get the Lucky Combo. You cannot go wrong. So speaking of all the new stuff, John, what's your what are you most excited about with all the announcements? Besides the beauty, and let's just get into it. How impressive is the beauty and the sheer magnitude of Star Wars Land Lock?
Oh, it looks great, doesn't it? It's going to be.
It looks like 100 buildings are put in there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be massive. So I am so excited to do that, and so excited to be. a cast member now at Disney that maybe I'll be able to do my transition, you know, at that time and get over to Star Wars Land. But they said they were just saying that the wait list to get onto any of the Pandora attractions was you had to have massive seniority to get moved over there. So I don't know, but Star Wars Land is going to be probably 3 to 4 times the size of Pandora. So I'm hoping that they just need that many more cast members, and maybe by that time I can move over there, because I would be ecstatic to be working on one of those attractions. So,
well, I'll be honest with you, John, if I had my option to work in Africa on any of those three attractions or in Pandora, I would choose any of those three. That's just me. What about you, Dan?
Oh, yeah, I'd much rather go with the base Disney attractions. I mean, not that it isn't Disney. You know what I mean. I'd rather go for something a little, older attraction.
And you got the best ride, John. Save the job for me until I get there, John.
Yeah.
And I'll take over on that train for you, and I'll be as happy as a pig, and you know what.
But I guess I get it. If Star Wars is really your thing and you geek out on Star Wars, I mean, how awesome would it be to actually work at in a land, a fantasy land that, you know, that's the closest you're ever going to come to, you know, actually being. I was going to ask you that, John. Is it a particular planet that's supposed to represent, or is it just a random place in the Star Wars universe?
They didn't want to identify any certain area because they're.
It's a galaxy far, far away, Dennis.
Yeah, I love Star Wars, and I'm a bit of a geek about it, but I'm not one of those people that go on Star Tours and complain about the different time shifts that, you know, that will put you on because it shoots from, you know, the first movie to the sixth movie and stuff like that. I'm not that kind of that big of a geek, but there are a lot of people out there. So if they said this is going to be Endor, if this is going to be Coruscant, or if this is going to be Tatooine, there would many people out there criticizing everything they did that it would drive them nuts. So it's going to be a truly unique, never before seen Star Wars planet that is only in Walt Disney World and Disneyland. So, you know, that way they have pretty much free license to put whatever they want in there. So,
right. Okay, fair enough.
No, it looks phenomenal. I cannot wait to see it. All I know is put me over in Andy's toy box and I'll be happy.
Yeah, there you go. You work the Slinky Dog coaster. You'll be a happy guy. So.
Nah, dude, I'll be honest with you. Toy Story, I would love the Slinky coaster, but I'd rather work at Toy Story Midway Mania. I just love the nostalgia of all the stuff in there. That would be my happy place, yeah.
So now, John,
I can see you in that costume, too.
I've been playing with the Etch-A-Sketch all day in the Lincoln Logs. Go ahead, Dan. We cut you off three times.
No, that's okay.
Sorry.
This is probably going to take up a question that Doug was going to ask you anyway. So are you in for that Star Wars-themed resort, or are you not in?
Probably not in. It's the same reason that I haven't gone on a cruise yet. When I go on vacation, I like to be doing stuff all the time, and I like to leave. If I'm at the parks, I want to, you know, if I'm at Walt Disney World, I want to go to the parks. I don't want to just hang out in the resort all day. And it's like, for example, as beautiful as Animal Kingdom Lodge is, I can't imagine just staying there all day. I mean, there's plenty of stuff to do, but I'd still want to go to Animal Kingdom. I want to go to the Magic Kingdom. I want to go see stuff, and to just stay at one resort all day. Yeah, that I can't see myself doing it, and especially for that price point. So I'm sure I'd love to go tour it and take some pictures and look at stuff, but I don't think I could ever stay there. So
see, no, I'm the opposite. I could stay, especially at Animal Kingdom. I could do a day or two. I mean, I couldn't do a whole week, but I could definitely do a day or two, taking the tour and just checking the sights out, going at night to listen to the fire talkers there, and the night vision and day vision is, I could keep busy, but, let's just say somebody gifted it to you. Would you do it then if money wasn't an object?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if money wasn't an object, and I think it's going to be, what, $1,000, $1,200 a night or something like that. But yeah, I mean, if I want a cast member preview or something like that, yeah, right. I certainly
okay.
Turn
well,
it down,
it's but, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
No, that's yeah. a great price point, John. I don't think they're charging enough. I'm turning over a new leaf. just keep making us spend it, Disney. Just keep shutting the parks down and doing whatever you want. We love you anyway. Beat us. We love it. Spend more money. Does that sound better?
Yeah. Now you
These opinions are Doug's and not John's.
Thanks. <Yes.
laughs> No, but anyway, I mean, I'm excited for – I cannot wait. Not even to go on any of the rides, just to roam through this land is going to be awesome. I mean, Star Wars Land looks incredible. My hat's off to them. And I just can't wait to be immersed in that land. I'll never stay in the hotel, but I can't wait to be immersed in the land.
I'm just wondering if they're going to do a entry point of where you are, you know, you're in this part of Hollywood Studios, and then you walk past something, and there's more of a pronounced entryway into Star Wars Land, like there is that there really isn't in Pandora. You cross a bridge, and then all the music shifts, and all of a sudden you're in Pandora. There's no of the type of gateway. You know, I think even Cars Land out in California Adventure has a bit of a gateway where you're kind of thrown into the environment type of thing. And I hate to compare it to somewhere else, but Diagon Alley, Harry Potter Land at Universal, you don't even know where you are. You go through a certain alleyway and you end up there with that big dragon in front of you. You know, presenting it, it's kind of like the Magic Kingdom when you walk through the underneath the railroad station and you're face to face with the castle, you know. Oh, so I'm hoping that there's an entryway like that where you get kind of you can't see it, and then you turn a corner and then you're slammed with something. You know what I mean?
No, I truly believe they're going to do that. I think that's why they're waiting on the whole Streets of America and all that. That's going to be the final facade, all that area, in my opinion. And I think it's going to be something really cool. Kind of like, well, you know how you go into over towards Toy Story, how they have the archway and all that you go through over into that area. I mean,
right.
They're going to be changing. The way it looks now, they're changing the whole entranceway, too, for Toy Story now. Have you been there since they've done that, John? Where the land's going to be? They're starting to change out already. They showed the other entryway that's going to be in the Toy Story there.
Where is now Pixar Place, sign? Okay.
Yeah, but... Yeah, back where the original Toy Story is, they're going to have another entrance that goes that wraps that all the way around, that ties that whole back area of Toy Story Land together, is the way it looks to me.
Yeah, and that would make sense, because I think there's going to be an entry road coming, like, if you can envision it, like over by Pop Century and Out of Animation coming in that side. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there's going to have to be something done, too, for... because there's going to be – I don't even know how you're going to get into this park when both these areas are open.
Yeah, maybe they'll have a, you know, brand-new entryway. Maybe they'll have three entries you could enter in, like you said, so you get that wow factor. You can enter, you know, through Star Wars Land or through Pixar Place or through the
Main Gate,
you know, Main Gate, Sunset Boulevard there.
I was just going to say,
he's just cutting us off all day, Dan, but it's okay. Yeah. You can see he missed Sunday's show. He's anxious.
It's Star Wars, you know. But if they put that hotel up like you were talking about, Doug, where you actually have an overview of the park, well, then I wouldn't be surprised that there's an entrance through the hotel, like, what is it, Grand California has the entrance just into DCL. So
yeah, the Grand California DCA, does, so. And yeah, there's two – The Disneyland Hotel and the Grand California, they both have entrances to the parks.
So, yeah, so maybe it'll be like that. So if you're staying would that be surprising at all if you were staying in the Star Wars Hotel, you get easy access to the Star Wars Land? I think that probably would make perfect sense.
Oh, so. Absolutely. They're going to have to do something for traffic around here. Now, besides that, what else are you most excited for, John, with all the new rides and new things that they've been mentioning? The gondolas, or is it the minivans? The minivans.
No, the gondolas. minivans. They just look cute, I guess. But no,
you might be able to transfer and drive one of them, Johnny.
That's okay. I think I'll stick with the train.
Yeah, I hear you. But the gondolas do look cool. I am really excited about them, too, and I know Dennis is.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait to ride them.
Well, I'm hoping that that resort that you were talking about, the Riviera Time or DVC resort is, Dennis, do you think it'll be affordable, or do you think they're at a point with Polynesian and it's just going to go up from there?
Yeah, it looked kind of high end. Not that it looked like the Grand Floridian, but the artist rendering, it looked like upscale to me. I mean, that's unfair.
It kind of reminds me of what's the two new ones they just put in there? I'm sorry, guys, but I've been going since 4 this morning, so my brain's a little dead, so you guys need to carry me today. The Waldorf Astoria, the two real ritzy ones that they just put in.
Oh, yeah. The Waldorf and then the Hilton the other Hilton. Yeah.
Yeah, they put in it kind of reminds me of them, the way it is. It's like a grand hotel like that.
Right.
Okay. Well, then never mind. It won't be anything that we can afford.
But I could be wrong. I have been lately. Apparently, everybody don't mind the parties. They want to pay more money. I mean, I don't know. I'm always wrong anymore.
All right. Well, then it'll be a moderate.
It's going to be $10 to stay. $10 to stay, five a night if you do more than seven nights.
Right. Well, hey, that sounds great.
Yeah. Just give us what you can afford, that's all.
Yes, but no, it says the proposed 15th Disney Vacation Club property. Can you believe there's 15 of them?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, located near Epcot with a rooftop restaurant that's unbelievable views of nighttime spectaculars at Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios. Opening will be announced later at a later date, but it does look beautiful. Dude, if they have rooftop views of both parks, it'll probably be the second most expensive hotel third. It'll probably be right behind the Poly and the Grand.
All right, so it's not going to be Saratoga Springs or Old Key West. I don't think we'll be getting any points there then. So.
Now, Doug, you just read a little excerpt of the article, and I don't think they said it or we skipped over it. Do you have a sense of where this place is going to go? I know it's near Epcot, but where near Epcot? Any idea?
I would have to – I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere around that riverway, the walkway. Somewhere in there, somewhere it has to be for both views. It has to be located centrally somewhere around there. Maybe the back side of the parks, maybe somewhere back by where the Swan and Dolphin is, back in there.
Wow. Yeah, I can't visualize a tract of land that big, but it must be there. And
I don't think then, to be honest with you, and this is just me, and I hate that expression, so I'm sorry. I don't think it's going to need that much of a track of land because it's a hotel like the Swan and Dolphin. Like, they don't take up a ton of land.
It's going to be vertical, not necessarily horizontal.
Like the Contemporary and Bay Lake Tower. The Contemporary barely has any land.
True, true.
I mean, the Caribbean Beach and Riverside take up more land than all the, Magic Kingdom resorts put together.
Right, because it's spread out. Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, the footprint doesn't necessarily have to be that large because they're going to go 15 stories straight up.
Yeah, I mean, not saying that the Swan and Dolphin property is small, but really, if you're over there, the parking lot takes up more space than both hotels, really.
Yeah, good point.
You know, and the same thing with the Contemporary. I mean, if you drive over there, the parking lots up front are wider and more space as far as acreage than what both hotels are.
Right, right. Well, so, we should start to see, even by the time you get down there, Doug, and even myself, we might start to see, clearing of land or at least some sort of fencing going up on the site, right? So we'll probably get a good idea fairly soon.
That's why the other reason I'm also surprised, and it's just me, that Disney didn't go into the parking garage business until too late. Like, I don't understand why they didn't do more parking garages for some of their resorts.
So they didn't take up so much. Not only the resorts, but the parks. Yeah, the parks, too. I mean,
with the amount of land that they're using for them. I mean, if you go vertical, you only had to use half the Magic Kingdom land. You know what I mean? The way those parking lots are spread out. Like you're saying, Animal Kingdom, all of them. I mean, they take up a lot of space. There's as much Animal Kingdom. It looks like that parking lot for the Animal Kingdom is ridiculous, isn't it?
It seems like it goes on forever. But I guess being 52 square miles or whatever, they probably figured, and even 20 years ago, I mean, even though Disney thinks big, I don't think they had an inkling that it was going to turn into what it looks like it's going to turn into.
But
I mean,
the point I'm trying, and you're right, the point I'm trying to make, though, is this Disney Riviera Resort might do a parking garage and even use less space.
Right. They should. And it almost seems like they'd have to. Again, if you just walk that walkway in your mind and, you know, you, and again, maybe it's hidden with vegetation and it just, you know, it doesn't look that way to us because it's concealed right now. But it just doesn't seem like a building of that magnitude could go there. But I guess it is. They say so.
Yeah, it'll maybe they're going to put it by the Caribbean beach somewhere over that area. So that would put it on straight line with Hollywood Studios on that side of the road, and then straight right across it to the back door of Epcot.
Hey, you want to know something, John? Now that you said that, you're right, because we read another article, I think, on Sunday with all this news coming out that is going to be, Dennis, remember we read that? That is going to be
vaguely.
The – no, it is. You're right, John. I'm glad you brought that up. It just made my brain wake up from – The 52-hour streak.
I was
going to
say,
right
I
now.
Thought you guys had mentioned that, but you covered a lot of stuff.
Yes,
we did mention that.
Remember, Dennis, they said that we read that this is going to be where it's going to be, where they cleared a lot of the land at Caribbean Beach?
Okay. Now I remember it.
Doug said something about maybe one of the buildings actually getting destroyed or something to make room for it.
Right.
So.
They took a section of Caribbean Beach away, or they raised it,
and
that's going to be the footprint for the new Riviera.
Yeah, exactly.
Doug.
Yep. As soon as he said that, I remember we read that article, and sorry, guys, for making John seem so smart, but he actually is. But
he should listen to ourselves once in a while.
Yes, but no.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you ever wonder if I listen to the shows that I'm not on, there you go. There's your
good
answer.
Good job.
Right?
Good job. But yeah, as soon as you said that, it made me remember. I did report that yes, it is going on now. Because remember, Dennis, we were confused, and then we're like, now we understand what's going on over there.
Yep.
So
okay, we corrected ourselves. Sorry, we had to put you guys through that. That's 5 minutes of your life you're never going to get back. Sorry.
The only person I'm not sorry to do this to is Pat, the way he's been picking on me lately. So I'm glad we wasted 5 minutes of you, Pat. But anyway, I hope he does have a great trip. He has a trip coming up, so I'm looking forward to seeing the pictures and how bad he picks on me from at the park. So.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he heads over to Animal Kingdom and says Jumbo. So we'll see.
He probably won't. So. You know Pat. But anyway, what else are you excited about, John, besides the gondolas? We're all excited about the gondolas. What about – what's your thoughts on the great movie ride with the Mini Mickey train?
About the same as Dennis. I'm totally excited to see Mickey Mouse get his own attraction. I just wish it was classic Mickey Mouse and not the – I mean, the new ones, they aren't – I don't hate them as much as Dennis apparently does, but I'm still not
– I can't stand them.
Yeah, I'm not as big a fan of them. And honestly, I wish it was more of the classic Mickey Mouse, but then with the other – the rest of the Fab Five in there with them too, like maybe joining them in certain segments, because personally my favorite was always the goofy everyday guy ones, you know, where he played the different sports and
yep.
He just totally blew himself up skiing and all that kind of stuff. So those were always my favorite. So I would have loved to seen Goofy and Mickey and Minnie and Donald and Pluto all in there. So, if it's just got the new one, it's going to be cool, but it's just not nearly as exciting as I would like to have seen it. So.
Well, there's two ways I'm looking at this. I mean, I'm sad about the Great Movie Ride, and I'm going to be upset. And me and Brendan were talking about we're both going to miss it a lot because of we have a lot of memories on it. But on the other hand, I understand Disney going away because they don't own all the rights to all this, and the contract's running out, and they're at a point now where they just won't. The properties that they own, and I don't blame them. They own what, 10,000 properties now? And the other thing I'm excited about is that it is Minnie and Mickey, because that's what it all comes down to. And I'm glad that they're putting something to do with the original mouse, the one that created it all. They're honoring him by making that the focal point, the centerpiece of the park. So I'm thrilled about that.
Can I just say something? Because I forgot on the Sunday show, and I just remembered it again. I'm going to make a prediction, too, even though it hasn't been said yet, that one man's dream moves over to that building somehow, and they take it out of, and they use that for Pixar or something else where it currently is.
Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Yeah, if they actually put it over there by the Mickey Mouse attraction and had Walt right next to Mickey Mouse, that actually make a lot of sense.
They're going to go back to, you know, the roots, if you will. I don't know. It makes sense. I mean, where it is now, I guess it could survive, but now I don't even remember. It is outside of the sign that says Pixar Place, I believe. It's not that far down.
Yeah, it's not far from Toy Story Midway Mania, man. It's like right there on that.
There's that alleyway right in between the two, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, there's that alleyway right in between the two, and I think that
that's the alleyway that leads to the new Toy Story.
Right. So I think
maybe
it goes to the new theater.
Yeah, right between that alleyway is where it runs to the new Toy Story. That's where it's going to wrap around and go all the way back there. That's what I was talking about, where they're working on the entrances and all. But how's this for you? I mean, and this is just a thought to agree with what you're saying, then. Maybe they're going to keep that where it is, and that Star Wars launch bay, I believe, is totally going to go away when Star Wars comes. I think that's out of there.
My understanding, that's temporary. You know, it always has been, I agree with that.
Exactly. So how about maybe that wall and that archway comes down, and that whole center part is dedicated to the original characters?
That would work.
That would be the center point. You'd have all the buildings where – what's that? What's it, the aerial ride there at the front there, John, Den?
Yeah, Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
On the corner.
Exactly.
Behind the archway.
So maybe they do something with Little Mermaid. They keep her. They do One Man's Dream. Where the launch bay is, they do something to another one of the authentic Disney characters. Maybe they turn that all into the originals, because it is going to be all about – movies still. So maybe this is going to all turn into the Disney Classics area.
Yeah, makes sense. It's definitely been needed and wanted by, you know, Disney fans, and to have it all in one central location would be make a lot of sense.
Yeah, because if you're going to turn that into Mickey and Minnie and that train ride and all, why do you need that wall there? You know what I'm saying? That little archway you go through? Maybe you tear that down and open up that whole area to where it flows into all the other Disney classics.
Sure, and then they're going to want retail. They could do a restaurant, a themed restaurant. Who knows? I mean, the sky's the limit. Once that anchor attraction gets in there, there's a lot of hoopla that comes with that, and they'd have room to do it if they did what you just said.
Yeah, so I'm thinking something like that. I'm just happy that it gives the chance that the originals could be there, because I still want to keep them. And then I'm curious of what's going to happen, because I honestly don't believe Tower of Terror is going to remain the Tower, Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. I don't. Unless within the next 10 days Disney buys Tower of Terror, Twilight Zone. You know what I'm saying?
Wouldn't really surprise you.
Yeah, but honestly, what do you guys think? I think that's going to turn – I think eventually all that area is going to be redone too, and I wouldn't be surprised if they connect to each other, wrap around and connect to each other. Because I've never understood – why that has to be a dead end, why that does not somehow connect to where One Man's Dream is and up that way. What do you guys think?
It's stupid. You get all the way down the Rock and Roller Coaster and you got to take a U-turn and turn around and go back. It's stupid.
Hasn't that – that has always been baffling to me, like why I can't walk through here. Like why couldn't they have done something to where I can get by Rock and Roller Coaster and get back towards the back part of the park?
Yeah, I mean, it was just bad design at the time, I guess.
I honestly believe, and this is the only thing I can think of, is they want you to walk by the stores twice because there's more of a chance you'll spend money. That's the only reason. Yeah. Am I wrong?
That's probably all it is, because I certainly think they could have done it differently if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, that's what part of the problem with going to Fantasmic is, because everybody has to leave the same direction at the end of the night. So, you're all heading down Hollywood Boulevard and then taking the left-hand turn. So.
And what's your thoughts on the new space restaurant?
I don't know anything. I mean, I looked at it. I looked at the pictures and read about it, but I just don't. How are they going to theme food after space? I mean, you're not going to get like food in the
George
toothpaste
Jetson,
containers and stuff like
Jane, yeah. His wife, his daughter, you're going to get pills.
Tang.
Don't you remember you used to get little pills or whatever came out of the machine
and
you're
going to hit them with water and it's going to blow up into a whole chicken?
Yeah. But doesn't it, honestly, the renderings, doesn't it look just like the coral reef, but with a space van in the tank?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of a scuba diver, yeah, there's a guy floating in space outside your window. So.
And I know you're excited about Ratatouille.
Oh, yeah, that one I'm really looking forward to. That's supposed to have the newest technology and stuff like that. I'm kind of wondering, are they going to incorporate some smells and stuff into it? Because imagine if you're going through there and you're smelling French cooking at the same time you're riding a ride. So
I think they
really
will.
Interesting.
I'm excited about
really cool.
that. And then I know the biggest thing you're excited about is the new movie of China.
Well, it's needed, but I don't know if I'm overly enthused. But,
John,
well, I mean,
you were texting me when you heard that was coming out. Can you believe the news about China? I can go to the Joy of Tea, get a lucky combo, and then go see the movie.
The new movie. I think Canada and France could probably use a new one, too. So.
Yeah, they could all use attractions. But speaking of attractions and a theater, what's your thoughts on the Tron ride and the new theater in the Magic Kingdom?
Tron was never my favorite of my sci-fi movies that I liked, but
I
thought
agree.
It was pretty cool. But I'm definitely looking forward to that coaster ride, because the ride itself that I've seen from other places looks absolutely stunning. So I'm really excited to see that. I'm just kind of surprised that they're just not going to go ahead and get rid of Tomorrowland Speedway to make room for it. But
well, it looks like they're updating. I'm more excited about the Tomorrowland Speedway update than I am about Tron.
You think they're going to put in electric cars and get rid of those gas guzzlers? Or?
Well, I honestly believe what they should do is, and this is just me, they should make some kind of cars that are like futuristic, like maybe hover cars or something that would go around that track.
Yeah, at
if
least
they can
bring
lift
it
up on
the
repulsor lifts or something. So.
What's that?
No, I mean, at least bring it into the 21st century, right? I agree with that. They can keep this, you know, track, I guess, and, you know, they can change the landscape for a minimal cost and make it more futuristic.
Yeah, maybe make them look like spaceships or something, you know? I mean, something like that to drive around to fit in with the land. Like, I've never understood how those cars are Tomorrowland. They've been so old forever.
Yeah.
What were you saying, John?
No, maybe put repulsor lifts or magna lifts on them or something like that, where they ran off of that type of stuff instead of just the engines, you know, or if they could incorporate the people mover technology on them. So,
well, like how hoverboards work. Maybe you make something like that out. Like you were saying, it runs around the track. But I think the car should – the way this whole drawing fits – it is all futuristic with Space Mountain, Tron, this new area where the retail area is. I mean, it looks beautiful. It looks modern, futuristic. And then you're going to have these old go-karts. I mean, how about you make them whistle like the Jetsons Rockets did? Remember them?
Yeah.
There you go. How about you get rid of that smoking section while you're building something back there? How about that?
Exactly. And then last but not least, so we can end this show so it don't turn into an 8-hour one like all of our others have, what's your thoughts about the new theater on Main Street?
Yeah, I was thinking that. So if you're heading down Main Street towards the castle and you look to your right, there is that one street that shoots off to your right-hand
side. That dead end where the flower pots and all that are.
Yeah, into a gate. So do you think they're just going to open that gate, fill it out?
That was the thoughts I had,
Yeah, fill it out with some landscaping and stuff like that, and then you're going to – that's basically going to end in a courtyard right in front of it. Yeah, I agree with what you were thinking. I think that's where it's going to be built. And did you get the impression that it's going to be like full-fledged Broadway shows in there or more like 20-minute
– No, I'm thinking it's full-fledged shows, hour-and-a-half show. Because if you look at this amphitheater, it's huge. I mean, it is.
You don't think
it'd
be like a 20 or 30 minute show like Lion King or Finding Nemo, you know, that type of thing? You think it's going to be a regular old show, huh?
So. I'm thinking an hour, 45 minutes, an hour. I think it's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of restaurant going to end up in there. Do dinner and a show.
Yeah, because, you know, they're not just going to do a standalone. They're going to make a little, like I said, almost like a mini land in addition to Magic Kingdom. That's what I think.
I guarantee there'll be popcorn carts out there. Oh, there is one. Yeah. I already see it. So, yeah, there's going to be popcorn carts. But I do agree with you, Dan. I think it's going to be more when it's all said and done than just this theater. But yep. I do love that they're doing this because they need to open up that park more.
Yeah. Yep. I totally agree. It'll take some of the strain off of everyone getting forced right up Main Street USA. And, you know, people will opt to go to the right or have plans or reservations or a show to see. And it'll just alleviate some of the, you know, the hustle and bustle right there at the foot of Main Street.
No.
But like I think Dennis said it on Sunday's show. You know, they finished a new Fantasyland, and I thought Magic Kingdom was done for a while. Nope.
Yeah. Yep.
Nope. All right. Sure.
No, so. I mean, I have to admit, though, the Tron Coaster, the facade and the building looks absolutely phenomenal. I just wish it was anything but Tron.
Yeah, I watched the first one, or the original one.
Oh, my
Tron.
Gosh. It was so hard.
I didn't get it. It was like, I never took acid, but if I did, that's probably what it would be like.
Well, when did you watch it? Did you watch it back in the 80s, or did you
No,
try
I
to
watched
watch
it fairly within the last 2-3 years.
Well, that's part of the problem. You should have, I mean, if you have any kind of fondness for it, you probably originally watched it back in the 80s, because at that time, the technology was pretty cool. Nowadays, it just looks horribly outdated. So,
yeah,
you know
it was
what I mean?
Silly.
Like I said on Sunday show, I couldn't even stand as a kid the video game. My goofy buddy Mike, who was into everything, not goofy, but my sci-fi buddy Mike. Don't tell anybody, Dan, but he was goofy because he was all into that science fiction stuff. But I'm
one
just
of them
kidding.
Guys,
yeah,
huh?
One of them guys, you know. You don't think John heard this, did you? But anyway, no, he was a big Star Wars geek, Star Trek. He loved everything, and he would play that Tron game, and he would try to talk me into it, and I'd walk right by him, head over to Donkey Kong, or I did like Asteroids. I enjoyed that, or anything else, but Joust. I liked all those. I just could never get into Tron at all.
Joust, I haven't thought about that in 20 years.
I don't even know if I've heard that word in 20 years.
It was an awesome game, man. You get you and your boys and go jousting. Yeah, I liked that. I liked Asteroid. I liked Donkey Kong. I liked, what was the other one that was really good? Oh, Mario Brothers.
Space Invaders.
Yep, Space Invaders was good.
Oh, yeah.
Centipede. All them games. Oh, yeah. I loved all that. But you know, you were on a date, you play some Mrs. Pac-Man, have a good night. But Tron, I just could never get into it. And the other one was, what was the other crazy game? There was another one like Tron that he liked. He was just one. He was like he liked all the futuristic stuff. But I'm going to be happy that Tron's there. I mean, I mean, I'm happy when they add pretty much anything for the most part. And I'm excited to see how the train goes through that Tron building. Because it's going
through. That's
going to
be interesting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I wonder if the train will hover as it goes through the Tron building.
No, I don't know.
No, but I'm excited about all these changes. We'll be talking about a lot more on Sunday's show. I don't think it's going to end anytime soon with all these announcements. I mean, they just filed the permits to tear down the Disney Quest. They can't even let us digest this. They're already filing more permits. So things are changing, and I think for the most part, the better. And they're even charging us more, which I'm so thrilled about. So, I mean, happy days are here again, guys.
Like I said, you only get a couple weeks to the annual August ticket price increase, so you'll have a rant in about 3 weeks.
No, I'm
It'll
not
be
ranting
coming out.
No more. No. I'm happy. I'm a happy dog. More and more. Just keep making us spend more. I'm happy about it.
And you watch. It'll be. I'm going to predict it'll be almost a record increase because now they'll feel justified. They'll say,
"Hey, we just announced
all this stuff. They deserve to pay us more money, and they're going to give us like a 20% increase."
Any prices that they add is worth every penny. I honestly believe what they should do is cut the park days in half. They should start shutting the park down at noon and then make you pay again. I mean, they deserve it. That's what they should do. You should either buy a day ticket or a night ticket. It shouldn't be no longer an all-day ticket.
12-hour day. I like that.
Yeah, they should charge. They should split it in half. Either you go in the morning or night. You don't deserve. You pay $130. You do not deserve to see a fireworks show. If there's a Christmas or Halloween party, you don't have any right to see a nighttime spectacular. You did not pay enough. $120 is not enough to see a fireworks show. So you deserve to be kicked out. Honestly, on the way out, they should have something that you can donate to when you're getting kicked out at 6 o'clock. And again, all these opinions are of Doug Davis's and not John Peters. I will say this. And Dennis Conroy's opinions,
yeah, I'll
not
take
John
half
Peters.
The blame.
Yes. And but no, again, John, we are very happy for you. We're very proud of you. You're going to be the best trained conductor there is out there. I don't know about engineer, but conductor, you're going to be great.
Hey, welcome aboard the Wildlife Express train to Rafiki's Planet Watch. Please stand clear of the doors. There you go.
Well, all I know is the one person you can positively guarantee is going to be on that train on his next trip will be me.
All right.
Yeah, I will be there too.
If not multiple times, because I'm on that train every trip. That's one of my favorite things. So I'm so jealous that you're on that. And I did know that was a diesel and not a steam powered.
Yep. I learned that yesterday. So, you know what? I didn't learn exactly how many horsepower it has. So I probably need to find that out. So,
I think it has 13,000.
Probably a little more than 13.
I'm kidding, man. Nah, there's plenty. Well, you could just tell by the way the whistle blows. That there's, you know, the whistle from the one on the in Main Street is nowhere near what that is, you guys have on yours.
Yeah.
Have you blown that whistle yet?
Yeah, that's part of the safety procedures. You have to blow it. There's several different whistle, call them whistle sticks. When you pass them, and you have to blow the whistle. So, oh yeah, a bunch. So.
Yeah, I seen it. They're along the trackway. You can see them as you go passing by. Yeah, I was goofy enough to tell my godson on the last trip, every time they blow it, I'd say, you see that? That was why. He blew it because of that. And he's like, what? And then I'm looking at myself, what is wrong with you? Do you actually know that? You got issues, man. But I'm so happy you're on that train, John. I'm happy for you. And you're scheduled there for the next few weeks. So anybody wants to see John, go out overhead, head over to the Wildlife Express on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday and say hello to our good buddy, John.
Yeah, please do. I'd be excited to meet any of you folks. So come on by.
So, all right, guys, everybody be safe. Have a great week. Be kind to one another. And please head over to iTunes and be kind to us and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. If you want to find John, you can find John at Beer Solo and The Weekly Pint on Twitter. And you can find him at John Peters on Facebook. You can find Dennis on Facebook at Dennis Conroy. And you can find him on Twitter at Oak Manor. You can find me at Good Old Grumpy 67 on Twitter. And you can find all of us on Facebook and on Twitter at WDW Main Street. Everybody, and you can also head over to our website, It's All in WDW, and check out our fine sponsors and check out all the great running from Bob, even when he is slanting the surveys to make me look bad. Anyway, check out our good buddy Bob over at It's All in WDW. He does a wonderful job. We will talk to you guys soon, and have a good week. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Quaharini, folks.
Oh, God. I'll drink another longboard to that. Talk to you later. Well, that's it, guys. It's last call here at the pub. We're going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and head on out of here. But before we go, let me tell you about two of our other fine sponsors. American Tourist Travel. If you need a Disney vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. That's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a very safe and happy week. Bye-bye.